We'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Ches 78, but we are picking up again. Remember, we have a little bit left over on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis 77 Beis. Remember, again, we left off in the interesting story of Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa. So remember, we saw Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was the guy who duped the Malach HaMaves, and he was able to go ahead and get into Gan Eden in a living state. So remember, again, it's time for Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa to die. He's a good friend of the Malach HaMaves. The Malach HaMaves appears to him, tells him, what can I do for you before you leave this world? Remember, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa said, give me 30 days. I would like to be able to review my learning, because I heard that they say in Olam Haba, Ashrei mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. Praiseworthy is the person who comes here to this world, Olam Haba, and his learning is in his hands. So remember, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa goes ahead and reviews his learning for the next 30 days. Malach HaMaves comes back. Again, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa tries to pull the same type of shtick with the Malach HaMaves. I want to go see my portion of Olam Haba. Give me your knife. To which the Malach HaMaves says, who do you think you are? You think that you're Yehoshua ben Levi, that you can go ahead and pull this kind of shtick with me? Right? It worked once. It's not going to work again. In any event, so the Gemara ends off by saying, we left off Kinach Nafshe. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line, like fourth word in. Va'afidu hachi, despite this. Now, Bosse, when he says despite this, remember the Malach HaMaves said to Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, did you learn Torah with the Ba'ali Ra'asan? So remember, again, this was something that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had done. Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa did not do. And therefore, the Malach HaMaves said, you don't really warrant the ability to go to Olam Haba alive like your friend Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi did. And despite this, meaning despite the fact that Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa did not get into Olam Haba alive, nevertheless, Kinach Nafshe Afsik Le Amuda Dinura Ben Didi La Alma. When Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa died, a pillar of fire descended from Shamayim and literally created a division between the funeral bier, between the bed, and everyone else. Meaning he was such a great tzaddik that ultimately, again, the pillar of fire prevented anyone else from approaching. So Ugmiri Dela Mafsik Amudu Dinura El Lechad Bedara Olutrein. We have a Masora that this idea that a pillar of fire only comes down for someone, right, as a show, as a sign, as a testament to their greatness, once or twice a generation. Meaning that's not the norm. That's not the norm. So the Gemara says, Karov Legabe Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri tried coming close to the funeral bier of Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, but he couldn't, of course, because of the flame. Amar Asei B'Shvil Kavod Chachamim. So Rabbi Alexandri davened, he said, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take away the flame, right, for the Kavod of Chachamim. Now what Kavod of Chachamim seems to say is, it's going to go ahead and perhaps embarrass the other Chachamim who do not have this flame come down when they die. V'lo Ashkach. So literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the flame, paid no attention. Asei B'Shvil Kavod Avicha. So he says to Rabbi Yeshua, to Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, do this in honor of your father, meaning your father. Right? Your father, Papa, didn't have this flame come down. How does it look for him if his son has it and he didn't have it? Lo ashkach. Still, again, the flame paid no attention. Asei b'shvil kavod atzmecha. Do it for your own kavod. Now, we'll say now, Rashi points out over here, what does it mean, do it for your own kavod? That Rabbi Alexandri was saying is, if the flame doesn't go away, people will not be able to approach and eulogize Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa appropriately. So meaning the hespedim will be compromised. So what happened? Istalik. Ultimately, the flame left. Amr Abaye, la'afuke miman, delokiem afilo os achos. Abaye said the point of this fire was to create a distance between the body of Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, who went ahead and upheld the entire Torah, and to keep away those who did not uphold the entire Torah, even if they only were deficient in upholding one letter. So this is interesting. So Rav Adda Bar Masna said to Abaye, no, it's meant to keep away people like you who don't put up fences on their rooftops. So we'll say, so apparently Rav Adda Bar Masna was giving Musa to Abaye, I was at your house and I say, you don't have a makeh. You don't have a fence around your roof. Now that's a violation of a biblical commandment. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Below he, of course, the Abaye had a fence on his roof. He did have a fence on top of his roof. It happened to Rav Ozei that when Rav Adda Bar Masna was visiting Abaye, there was strong wind, and the wind had knocked down the the fence. But of course, Abaye did normally have a fence around his roof. So the parak ends off. Why is it that there are no people afflicted with Ra'asan in Bavel? I mean, why isn't there a Ra'asan problem in Bavel? Because they eat beets, they eat cooked beets, and they drink wine that is made from the hops of prickly shrubs. So apparently, again, they attribute it to the diet of the people of Bavel. Why is there no tsaras in Bavel? Because ultimately they eat cooked beets. Vishosin sheikha, they drink a lot of beer. Verochtin bechame pras. And they go in and they wash themselves in the waters of the Euphrates. Hadron alach hamadiras ishto. Let's say Perek Shmini. So says the Mishnah. Now we're going to get into a couple of very interesting cases here. See if you have a situation of a woman who inherited property. In this case over here, she inherited property while she was still fully a single woman. Rashi says, now in this case, we'll say, so we'll call her Rachel. Rachel inherits property while she's a single girl, then she has Erison. Then Rachel decides to go ahead and get married to Yaakov, and they've done Erison. So what's the halacha? Modim Be'esham Be'esila, Shemocheres V'nosenes V'kayim Lo, V'kayim. So both Be'esham Be'esila agree that she has the absolute ability to go ahead and sell that property or gift that property as she pleases, and her transactions stand. Okay. However, Mishin is Arsa. But Rabbi said, let's say she acquired the property. Let's say she inherited the property. So that's case number one. So again, remember, case number one, inheriting property before Erisin, before anything. Then she decides to sell it during Erisin, or I should say after Erisin. The Maisa Vishan Basil agree, transaction stands. Fine. Case two, Mishin is Arsa. Case number two, Rabbi says, where what? Is where now she inherited the property once she already had Erisin. So Bishamay says, Timkor. Beis Shammai says she has the right to go ahead and sell the property while she is still in Arusa. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Beis Shammai omrim timkar ba'ode Arusa. She could sell the property while she's still in Arusa. Ava mishetinyase lo kedetani lekamon achlo nises. So we'll say we're going to see that Beis Shammai will say during Arusin she could sell the property. Once Nisuin comes, she cannot sell the property. So Beis Shammai, so modin Beis Shammai, I'm sorry, Beis Shammai omrim timkar ubeis Hillel omrim lo timkar. Beis Hillel says, no, she may not go ahead and sell it. Now, I will say, now the logic behind Beis Hillel's shita seems to be what? That Lamaisa, once there is Erisin, husband has rights already in that property, and therefore she cannot go ahead and sell it. Elu v'elu modim, but both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. Shemachra v'nas nakayim. So we'll say, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that, in fact, if she did sell it during Erisin, that's what? That's what? The transaction works. Just Beis Shammai says lechatchila she can do it. Beis Hillel says lechatchila she can't do it. But both agree that if she did it, it works. Fine. I'm Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda said, Amru chachamim lefi Rabbi Gamliel. The chachamim said over in front of Rabbi Gamliel, Ho'il v'zacha b'isha lo yiske b'nechasim. So Rabbi Huda said that the chacham said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, why does this make sense? If a man has acquired a woman, i.e., if through Erisin he's already acquired his wife, will he not acquire her property as well? So what the Chacham seems to be saying for Rabbi Gamliel is, why is it that if she sells it, the transactions should be good? After all, the Maisa, at the end of the day, since he has acquired her, so to speak, he should acquire her property as well. To which the Chachamim responded, Amr Lahem, Alachadoshim, excuse me, I'm sorry, this is the Chacham for Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel responds, Amar Lahem, Rabbi Gamliel said, Alachadoshim Anuboshim, we're embarrassed about the new ones. Ela Sha'ata Megalgalin Alinu Es Hayishanim, you want to go ahead and add on the latter, the newer, older ones, then we'll say no. So let's follow this conversation. So now in case number two, you have her acquiring property and selling it off while she's in Erisin. So the Shammai says, no problem. Beis Hillel says she shouldn't sell. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, oh, by the way, there was a conversation like this between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. And Rabbi Gamliel said to the Chachamim, or I should say, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Gamliel that Lameisa, why should her sale during Erisin be valid? After all, if he acquired a wife, he also acquired a property. She shouldn't be able to sell. To which Rabbi Gamliel responds, we have a problem even with what we'll call new property, and you want to bring up the old property. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, Alechadoshim shenaflu lami shenisei. So Rabbi Gamliel responds, when it comes to property that she inherited already after Nisuin, anu boshim, we're embarrassed. What does that mean? Maro chachamim lomar im machra venasna haba moti miyad alekuchos. Okay, it's not like a mama says. So we're going to see in the next case of Nisuin that if a woman goes ahead and inherits something during Nisuin, the truth is it's not even if she inherits it. If she sells it or gifts it away during Nisuin, a husband has the ability to seize that property from the people to whom she sold. So Rabbi Gamliel says, I have to be honest with you, that halacha is bothersome. That halacha is bothersome. I don't understand why, for the life of me, why the wife, if the property is hers, she should be able to do whatever she wants with it. And so the Chachamim say this, Rabbi Gamliel, and now you want to also prohibit her from selling property that she acquired during Erisin or during Erisin. So the Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Gamliel, I don't understand why you want to come to include property during Erisin. Rabbi Gamliel says, I have a problem with the fact that she can't sell property during Nisuin. So if I have a problem with the fact that she can't sell property during Nisuin, of course I'm not going to agree with you that she can't sell property during Erisin. To which the Gemara goes on. Ela she'ata magalgan alinu es hayishanim. Naflula mishenise. So we'll say next case. Let's say she inherits property once she goes in and gets married. Now this is after Nisuin. That if she went ahead and she sold it, or she gifted it to someone, that the husband has the ability to go in and seize this property from the purchasers. That the husband's property, however, again, if she acquired the property before Nisuin, but then she went ahead and got married afterwards, Rabbi Gamliel says, im machra v'nas nakayim. If she went ahead and she sold it, so the sale stands. Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. So Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya said, Amr l'fnei Rabbi Gamliel. The Chachamim said before Rabbi Gamliel, Hoil v'zacha be'ishal yiska ben Chasim. So we'll say in this version again, they're referring now to the case of where she went ahead and she acquired property before Nisuin, then went ahead and got married. So Rabbi Gamliel says that if she went ahead and she sold it, that ultimately the transaction is valid. So Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says that Rabbi Gamliel said before the Chachamim, the Chacham said before Rabbi Gamliel, Hovel v'zacha b'isha l'yizka ben Chasim. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Gamliel, I don't say, how could this be? If a man acquires his wife, then certainly he acquires her property as well. Why should her sale stand after she does it? Amar Lohem, to Rabbi Gamliel responded to them, Alachadoshim anuboshim. We're embarrassed about the new ones, meaning about property that she inherits during Nisuin. I think that she should be able to sell it, and I don't understand why Chazal said she can't. You want to include property inherited before Nisuin as well. That's a bit much. So now in the three cases. So case number one, which is the case where she inherits property before Erisin. Everyone agrees that what? She can go in and she can do what she wants with it during Erisin. Case number two, she inherits property during Erisin and wants to sell it during Erisin. Beis Shammai says no problem. Beis Hillel says she should not. But both agree that if she did it, the transaction works. That's when you have Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim having their conversation as well. Chachamim saying, I don't understand why it should work. Rabbi Gamliel saying, of course it works. It should even work during Nisuin. Certainly it works during Erisin. Case number three was that she inherits property after Nisuin. In that case, everyone agrees that what? That if she sells it or she gifts it, husband could go ahead and take back that property. The next case after that was, Achlonis says, she inherits property before Nisuin, but then gets married and wants to sell off that property. Rabbi Gamliel comments in that case and says that if she went ahead and she sold the property, she shouldn't do it, but if she did it, ultimately the transaction stands. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Cholek bein Nechasim l'Nechasim. First thing, Rabbi Shimon Cholek bein Nechasim l'Nechasim. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between different types of property. What does that mean? Nechasim, how you doing the Baal? If there's property that is known by the husband, meaning property, now we'll define exactly what this means. But if there's property that's known by the husband, lo simkar, then the wife should not go ahead and sell it. Ve'imachra v'nasna, but if she did sell it or she gifted it away, then what's the halacha? Batal, then that transaction is void. However, she'inan you doing the Baal, but if there's property that the husband does not know about, lo simkar, lechatkila, she shouldn't sell it, but ve'imachra, but if she did sell it, ve'imachra v'nasna, but if she sold it or she gifted it away, kayim, her transaction ultimately stands. Fine. Says the Gemara, ma'ishna reisha de lo pligi, ma'ishna seifa de pligi. Now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Why is it that in the case of the first case in the Mishnah, Bishan and Yisrael don't argue, yet in the second case they do? Remember, the first case is where what? She's inheriting the property before Erisin, then she has Erisin, and now she wants to sell her property. So in that case, remember, everyone agreed that what? That Lamaisa, she has the right to do that. Case number two is where she inherited during Erisin. She inherited during Erisin, and now she wants to sell during Erisin. Beis Shammai said no problem. Beis Hillel said she may not. But both agree that if she did it, lemaisa it works. So the Gemara says, why is there no machlokas in the first case, but there's a machlokas in the second case? Ma'ishna reisha de lo pligi, o ma'ishna seifa de pligi. Amri edibei Rabbi Yanai, reisha bezechusa nafla. Seifa bezechuso naflo. Very simple. Because in the reisha, in the first case, when she inherits the property of Rabbi, says she is her own person, right? She's her own woman. And therefore, again, the property that she inherits is totally under her. She has full autonomy. In the second case, where she inherited during Erisin, she doesn't have full autonomy. Lemaisa, again, she's a married woman. She has Erisin already. And therefore, the husband has rights already in that property. Or I should say, remember, I was like, during Erisin, a husband doesn't really have active rights in his wife's property, but he does have future rights. Correct. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't have active rights now during Erisin, but because we assume that Nisun is going to occur, he does have future rights, and it's those future rights that ultimately the Gemara says should preclude her from selling it in a way that would deprive him of those future rights. So therefore, the first case where she has full rights because it's before Erisin, it's even after Erisin, she can do whatever she wants with the property. But in the safe of the second case, where again, she's only inheriting after Erisin, and he already has certain rights in her after Erisin, therefore she can't go out and sell it. To which the Gemara says, 1 second, Ibishuso nafla, ki machra v'nasna ma'akayim. But if that's the case, lemaisa, if we're saying that during Erisin he has rights in her, then the halacha should be what Rabbi said, that if she goes in and she sells it during Erisin, what should be the halacha? That the sale is void. But yet that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the sale stands. So the Gemara says, Ela, reisha vaday bishusa naflu, seifa emar bishusa, emar bishuso. Rabbi said, here's the difference, says the Gemara. In the case of where she inherits property pre-Erisin, everyone will agree that what? That's hers. It's hers. Bishusa. She has full autonomy over that property. And therefore, again, she has the ability to exercise that autonomy even after Erisin. In the case of Erisin Rabosai, you know, there are many areas in which the relationship between husband and wife during Erisin is a little bit fuzzy. Say here, for example, in this case of property, does husband have active rights of entitlement to the property? No, but he absolutely has future rights. So because he has future rights, and because we assume that Erisin is ultimately going to result in Nisuin, it's not immediately clear about the extent of his rights in the property, and therefore it's not immediately clear as to who really has full control over that property. So because it's a suffix, What do we say? Lechatchila lo simkar. Therefore, we say because it's a suffix as to who really has the full autonomy over that property, the full shlita. So we say, you know what? Lechatchila, don't sell it. Don't sell it. However, in machra v'nasna, Rabbi say, b'di'evet, if she does sell it, right, then what? Then kayim. Then the transaction stands. Why? Because the ma'aseh, if you with our back up against the wall, we'd have to agree that she is still the dominant owner of that property. Therefore, because he has certain rights, we tell her, don't sell it. But if she did sell it, lemaisa, again, the transaction would work. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rabbi Gamliel. So we'll say, remember again, right after the case right after the case of Erisin, right after the second case of the Mishnah, where wife inherits property during Erisin and then goes ahead and sells it. So Beis Shammai says, fine, no problem. Beis Hillel says, the Chatchila, don't do it. But everyone agrees that if she did it, it works. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, there was this exchange between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chacham. The Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel. And the Chachamim said to Rabbi Gamliel, I don't understand. Why should the fact that she sold the property during Erusin, why should that work at all? That transaction should be void. Because just like the husband acquires her, he acquires her property. See, Bari Lahu, Masakasha, Rabbi Yehuda lechatchila o adieved. Was Rabbi Yehuda bringing this down to try to void the sale bidieved, or to try to void the sale during Erusin lechatchila? Look at Rashi. Lechatchila pliyi va'omri amai mocheres lechatchila lebeis Shammai. Hovil v'zacha be'isha she'irsa lo yiske b'nechaseh. Aval di'evin moduku beis Hillel. Oh, dilma adi'evin nami pliyi u'baylimar machrabat. So we'll say, here's the interesting kasha. In the exchange that Rabbi Yehuda is bringing down, the Chachamim are arguing on Rabbi Gamliel and saying that the wife should not have the right to sell the property during Erusin. Because their logic is, if the husband acquires the wife during Erusin, he acquires the property as well. So the shaila is, who are they arguing on? Who are the Chum arguing on? Are they arguing on Beis Shammai, or are they arguing on Beis Hillel? So are they saying that lechatchila, the wife should not be able to go ahead and sell the property, but b'dieved, if she did it, it works? Well, that's arguing on Beis Shammai. Or are they arguing on Beis Hillel and saying, no, that's what? Even b'dieved, the sale should not work. Amadeis. Tashma. Tisanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Yehuda said before, excuse me, so Tashma, we learned in the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Ruth, I'm Rabbi Gamliel. The Chacham said before Rabbi Gamliel, Hawil vizu ishto, since this one is his wife, and this one is his wife, meaning Rabbi say, zu ishto, Rashi says, nisua, since a woman with nisua is his wife, and a woman who's in Arusa ultimately is his wife. Therefore, again, zum rech rabatel, just like Rabbi say, everybody will agree that if a woman during Erusin sells the property, the husband has the right to void that transaction. Av zum rech rabatel, so too during Erusin also, the husband should also have the right to void the transaction. Because remember again, what the Chachamim say to Rabbi Gamliel is lemaisa, at the end of the day, once this woman is his wife, she should not have the right to arbitrarily sell off property. What does it matter if it's Erusin or Nisuin? Amar Lahem, to which Rabbi Gamliel responded, Alech Hadoshim Anuboshim. So Rabbi Gamliel's trademark statement, we're embarrassed about the new ones, i.e., that even property that falls start during Nisuin and she tries to sell during Nisuin, Rabbi Gamliel says, I think she should have the right to do that because it's her property. But so now, I have problems with that. And now you want to go along. Elisha'ata Megalgalin Anasayishanim. You want to go ahead and you want to add in also property during Erusin. Shmamina Dievet Kamar Shmamina. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that when Rabbi Yehuda quotes this statement, the Chachamim are arguing and trying to say that b'di'eved, a transaction done during Erusin, should not work. Now we'll say, how do we see that? From the fact that the Chachamim's argument is that they want to equate Erusin with Nisuin. So just like Rabbi said, in the case of Nisuin, if after Nisuin she tries to sell property, what's the halacha? Everyone will agree he could void the sale. Even b'di'eved, he could void the sale. So the fact that Chum tried to go ahead and compare the state of Erusin to the state of Nisuin indicate that when they say that during Erusin she should not have the ability to sell off property, Lemaisa, they're saying even b'di'eved, if she did it, it should not work. So the Gemara says, Shemamina, indeed learn from this. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa,
wages or found things during
Erusin.
Does she own that?
No. She owns those items. Because remember, those have to do with mizonos, and there's no mizonos obligation during Erusin. The only shiloh over here is property, because property represents future potential for peros. So Tanya, Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. So remember, the Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya said, Lo kach eshivan Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim, ela kach eshivan. So we'll say this version, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya says, you got the conversation between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim wrong. Here's how it went. Im amartem b'nesua. So remember, this is now the Chum saying to Rabbi Gamliel. Excuse me, ela kach eshivan. I'm sorry. This is Rabbi Gamliel saying to the Chachamim, Im amartem b'nesua shekein baila zakai b'mitzias of a ma'ase adem faras nedareha. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Chum like this: yes, when she sells property as a nesua, I understand why husband would have the right to void that transaction, because husband already has significant financial rights in his wife. For example, if she finds something, then ultimately it's his. And if she generates earnings, those are his. Uba afaras nedarah, he has the ability to annul her vows, meaning by himself, without her father. So therefore, again, I understand why in that case, where he obviously has this level of control, I understand why he would be able to void a transaction that she entered into. However, tomer ba'arusa, when it comes to arusa, she'in ba'ila zakai, her husband doesn't have these entitlements, lo b'mitziyasa, he doesn't get the items that she finds, v'lo b'maseyadeha, nor does he get her earnings, v'lo ba'afaras nedareha, nor is he entitled to go ahead and annul her vows. So therefore, I will say, what Rabbi Gamliel says, the chum is, your attempt to equate these two marital states is an exercise in futility. It's wrong. Because l'maisik and the states are so incredibly dissimilar that to try to say that they should be treated the same legabe property sales is ridiculous. Amrulo, but yet the chum respond back to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi, machra la ad shelo nises. Machra la ad shelo nises. If she went ahead and she sold it, and she sort of really, actually, I will say, the Bach takes out the word law. So, machra ad shalom nises, and nises v'acharkach machra mahu. So what happens, again, halacha l'maisa. If you go, look at Rashi. Omer l'Rebbe, machra ad shalom nises, nirin dvarecha, b'mochares ba'oda arusa. So the Chum say back to Rabbi Gamliel, Rebbe, we understand your words, machra ad shalom nises. If she goes there and she sells, before Nisuin. Right, fine. So let's say we accept the argument of just a moment, that the same way that a husband does not have other financial rights in his wife who's in Arusa, he also can't prevent her from selling property. Fine. However, Niseis v'achakach machra mahu. But they say, Rabbi Gamliel, Rebbe, but what about the case where what? Where l'maisa, again, she sells after Nisuin. So obviously, if she's selling after Nisuin, then halacha l'maisa, in that kind of case, he already has the financial entitlements. Amar lahu, to which Rabbi Gamliel responded to them, Af zu mucheres v'nosenes v'kayim. Rabbi Gamliel says, I'm going to tell you the truth, even in that case, if she goes ahead and she sells property after Nisuin, Rabbi Gamliel says, I still think that the transaction stands. Amru lo. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Gamliel, you just contradicted yourself. Hoil v'zacha b'isha lo yiske b'nechasim. But Rabbi, you just said to us that during Nisuin, a man has a financial interest in his wife, and therefore, again, logic would dictate that she just cannot sell off property on her own. So if he acquired the woman, does he not acquire property as well? To which Rabbi Gamliel responds, Amru lahem ala chadoshim anu boshim. The truth is, I'm embarrassed about this, right? I don't think this makes sense. I think that even property that she acquires and sells during Nisuin, such a transaction should stand. But you now want to add on even property, prohibited from selling property, even during Erusinus. Avraham Gamliel says, I simply don't agree with that. So I will say, Rabbi Gamliel takes a very interesting stance. Rabbi Gamliel's position is, property that's hers is hers. It's true that husband has an entitlement to eat peros, but it doesn't change the fact that title is hers. Once title is hers, she can do whatever she wants with the property. I v'hanan t'nan. But we learned, Achelon says, but yet the Mishnah said that what? That l'maisa, all of this, that she has the ability to sell property, at least b'di'eved, is before there's nisuin. However, again, v'ni says, but what happens again? Actually, Nisei's Venice. It's right. What happens is she acquires the property before Nisuin. And then she goes in and she gets married. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Imachra Vinasna Kayam. So we seem to have contradictory inferences. Because remember, again, in the Mishnah stated the following case, which is that Lamaisa, she inherited property before Nisuin. Then she gets married. Then she sells it off. So what does the Mishnah say? Rabbi Gamliel Paskins, that if she sold it or she gifted it, the transaction stands. Now that type of Lashon of Imachra Vinasna Kayam is a lashon of bidyeved. That if you did it, it works. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel is saying bidyeved, she could sell off property during Nisuin, but yet from the exchange that just happened above, it sounds like what? That Rabbi Gamliel holds, that's what Rabbi say, you could do it even l'chatkila. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zavid, Tani, Mocheres v'nosenes kayim. To which Rav Zavid says, you have to amend the Mishnah, and really Rabbi Gamliel says, Imachra v'nosna kayim. Not I'm sorry. Don't read it machrav inasna if she sold it or she gifted it, which lashon b'diavad. But rather read it as mocheres vinosenes. She may sell it. She may gift it, which is what Rabbi Osai, a lashon of lechatchila. So therefore, again, one way to resolve what appears to be a contradiction within Rabbi Gamliel, that before Rabbi Gamliel sounding like even during Nisuin, a woman could sell her property, but yet according to the Mishnah, it sounds like she could only do it bidyeved, to which the simple answer is, change the Mishnah, and amend the Mishnah to read, mocheres venosenes, that she could go and she could sell it, she could gift it, even lechatchila. Fine. Rav Zivit said there's another reconciliation. Rav Papa, Amar lo kasha, not a contradiction. Har Rabbi Huda aliba der Begamliel, Har Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya aliba der Begamliel. Oh, Rabosai, the other way to resolve it is there's a machlokes in the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. There are two different opinions of what Rabbi Gamliel says. So everyone's going to agree that Lamaisa she could sell off property during Nisuin, but it's a machlokes of what? If she could do it lechatchila, or only b'dieved. And because it's a machlokes in what Rabbi Gamliel holds, this accounts for the two different versions of Rabbi Gamliel, one in the Braisa and one in the Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, kibbe Shammai. Now what you'd be saying then, is that is it true that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holds, like kibbe Shammai then? That's how you'd be aligning it. Rashi says, "Hachi kasin Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, the Amar command kibei Shammai." But me, it's a question. Do habei sila filo mocheres beirus and amrin lechatchila lo veimbalo keach lebeis and limlach amrinan le lo tevos lo tizbin kol shekei mishnisis. Now both say. Now if you're going to say that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holds that lechatchila she could sell it, that means according to Rabbi Gamliel, that means Rabbi Akavya is being aligned with Beis Shammai. Now is that true, Rabbi Akavya, that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya holds like Beis Shammai? Hachi kama. This is what it means to say. Lo nechleku b'sham b'sal davar zeh. Oh, we'll say in this version, the Gemara is suggesting that l'maisa b'sham b'sal do not argue in this case. Rather, both will agree that at least in the case of Erusin, the lechatchila she is permitted to go ahead and sell the property. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu, bein shenaflu l'nechasim ad shlo nes arsa, bein shenaflu lo. So Rav and Shmuel agree that what Dami Tarvayu bein shenaflu l'nechasim ad shlo nes arsa, whether she acquired property before Erusin, bein shenaflu l'nechasim mishin nes arsa, or she acquired the property after Erusin, v'nisis, and then she gets married. Habal motzi miyad al kuchos. So let's say this is actually quite dramatic. So let's say Rav and Shmuel come along on the total opposite end, and they say it doesn't matter when she acquired the property, right? Whether she acquired the property before Erusin, during Erusin, once she gets married, Vinicius, once she gets married and she sells off that property, Lemaisi, again, husband has the right to extract that property from anyone whom she sold it to or anyone whom she gifted it to. So Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? The lo Rabbi Yehuda, the lo Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. That I will say, it won't be like Rabbi Yehuda, and it won't be like Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya either. Because we'll say, remember, according to both of them, they hold the Rabbi Gamliel, which means that either b'di'evet or l'chatchila, she is permitted to sell off this property. Here, the fact that they're saying that, here, the Rabbi Shmuel is saying that after she sells the property, he could take it from the Lekuchos, indicates that according to them, her sale is totally void. So the Gemara says, Inhu d'armi k'rabo seinu. So Rav and Shmuel hold like the Rabbanon, like Rabbo seinu. Disanya, Rabbo seinu chazru v'nimnu. So the rabbis went ahead, and the chazru v'nimnu rabbosa means they got together, and they essentially instituted another law. What was the law? Bein shenaflu lo ad shelo tisaris. Bein shenaflu lo mishit mishet nis arsa. We'll say, whether she inherited the property before Erusin or whether she inherited the property after Erusin, Vinny says, and then she gets married, Habal motzi miyad halakuchos, the husband has the ability to go ahead and extract the property from those whom she sold to. Now let's be clear on what this chazru v'nimnu is. This chazru v'nimnu is about property sales during Nisuin. So the bottom line, the halacha of the Rabbanan got back together and said, if she sells off property during Nisuin, then what? Then lemaisa, again, husband has the right to go ahead and take back that property. Now we will see exactly what that means. Husband has a right to take back property. Because remember, again, husband never owns title to the property. The most that husband owns is what? Is peros, is usage of the property. So what exactly he's able to take back remains to be seen. But lamaisa, in this iteration of the halacha, if she sells anything after nisuin, he has the right to go back and void the transaction. However, again, rabosai, anything done during erusin still comes back to machlokis beisham beisila. Beisham is saying lechatchila she could sell off property during erusin. Beisila is saying no, lechatchila she can't. But the Everett, everyone agrees that if she did it, it still works. Reb Shimon cholek bein nechasim. I'm sorry, I just skipped. Mishani says, Elu ve'elu modim. But I will say, remember again, once she gets married, both Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel agree. Remember the Mishnah read, Mishani says, everyone agrees. Mishani says, Elu ve'elu modim, Shemachra v'nasla shabah motz miyad al-kuchos. So I will say, remember the Mishnah said that once she gets married, if she now goes in and tries to sell property, both Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel will agree that husband has the right to go ahead and extract that property from the purchasers.
Is it regardless of when she got the property?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Lema ta'nina l'takarnas usha. Now what this sounds like is the Mishnah is reflecting a takana that was made in Usha. What was the takana in Usha? The Am Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Bu Usha Hiskinu, in Usha they instituted the following. Ha'isha Shemachra b'nichsimulug b'chaye b'ayla. If a woman sold off her nichsimulug, now remember nichsimulug is her property. It's her property, but husband has the rights of usage. So she sold off her nichsimulug while her husband was alive. Umesa. And then she dies, she predeceases him. What's the halacha? Habah motzi miyad alakuchos. Husband has the right to go ahead and seize the property from anyone whom she sold to. Meaning, I will say, because in this case over here, what's happening now is that when wife dies, husband inherits her. Now, the novelty, of course, is he's inheriting her even though what? Even though she's sold this property, even though she sold it during husband's lifetime, but Lamaisa, and during her lifetime, but Lamaisa, when she dies, husband inherits her, and he has the ability to go ahead and take back that property. To which the Gemara says, well, no, that's actually not our Mishnah. I'll tell you why. Masnisin bechayeha ulepeiros. And both say, our Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about that if she sells property after Nisuin, he has the right to go to the Lekuchos. Remember, first of all, number one, when is all this happening? This is happening when she's alive and well, right? She just did the transaction. He has the ability to go ahead and avoid the transaction. So he has the ability, number one, while she's still alive to do this. Furthermore, Ulaperos. Rabosai, what is he taking back? He's not taking title. What is he taking? He's taking peros. Now look at Rashi. Masnisin bechayeha. So also listen to this. In the Mishnah's halacha, all that's happening over here is what? This is very interesting. In the Mishnah's halacha, she's selling property after Erisin. He has the right to go to the Lekuchos and say, hey guys, she sold a right that I already had, and therefore I am demanding that you give me back my peros, so to speak. And he has the right to demand peros. What doesn't he have the right to demand? He doesn't have the right to demand the actual ownership of the land. And according to the Mishnah, if we play this out, a husband's entitlement to peros only lasts as long as when? As long as she's alive. Once she dies, peros ends, which means then what? Which means that the property then becomes the full property of the people to whom the wife sold it to during her lifetime. That's according to the Mishnah. Takanas Usha then comes along and changes that reality. Takanas Usha begufa shel karka ula achar misa. So Rabbi Sai, Takanas Usha comes along and says that what? That lemaisa like this. Doesn't change the first part. During the lifetime of the wife, all the husband could demand back from the lekuchos is peros. But here's the chap. What Takanas Usha says is that any property that husband enjoyed peros of during the wife's lifetime, when the wife dies and husband inherits her, he inherits those properties, which means that according to Takanas Usha, if she went ahead and she sold off property during her lifetime, during the marriage, then what? He has the ability to go ahead and take it back for peros, and when she dies, he becomes the rightful heir of those properties, and he can seize them back from the people to whom she sold it. So the Mishnah is almost like the first stage in this halacha, and Takanos Usha comes along and adds on an additional component. Let's just do a few more lines. So the Eluhin you do, excuse me, Reb Shimon Cholik Bein Chasim. So most remember again, in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon made a distinction between different types of property. Property that he knows about versus property that he doesn't know about. So says the Gemara, now where Reb Shimon seems to be saying is that Lamaisa, if he doesn't know about the property, she can pretty much do whatever she wants with it. If he knows about the property, that's when you have the limitations as espoused in the Mishnah. So what's the definition? Eluhin you do. The elu hein she'en yiduin. What is it? What's known property? What's unknown property? On Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, yiduin mekarkoi. She didn't do him tatlin. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina wants to say known property refers to land. Unknown property refers to movable objects. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu ve'elu Yiduin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not true. Both Metaltlin and Karka are both called known property. So what's unknown property? Ve'elu hein she'en yiduin. Kol she'yosheves kan v'naflu lo nechassim b'medinas hayam. Oh, you know what unknown property is? Unknown property is overseas property. Overseas property, that's considered to be unknown. Look at Rashi for just a moment, by the way. So you do in mikakoi va'amenas oson nechassim nasa lefichach machra batal shayim etzapach shatipa la'osim yusha. I will say now, what Reb Shimon's distinction is like this. Reb Shimon's distinction is when it comes to known property, when a man marries a woman, again, at least from the Gemara's perspective, there's a financial part of this as well. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, he has in mind that he's going to get usage of this property. They're only applies to property that he knows about. Property that he doesn't know about, pretty much she can do whatever she wants because he never had in mind that he's going to have usage of that property. So the Gemara is now suggesting is what's unknown property? Property that he doesn't have ready access to. Overseas property. She owns an island in the Caribbean. Very nice, but that has nothing to do with me, right? The husband now. So Lemaisa, therefore, again, she has unrestricted use or ability to sell that particular property. We have a brisa that supports this definition as well. Eluhein she'inan yiduin. What's the definition of unknown property? Kol she'yosheves kan. Any situation where they're living here. V'naflu lo nechassim b'medinas hayam. And then she gets property again overseas. That's not property that the husband really has in mind that he's going to use. And therefore, lemaisa, again, it is not subject to the restrictions as mentioned in the Mishnah. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. Overseas actually means